So if you have your Bible, won't you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read the first verse. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Okay, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And so over the next 2 months, as I said, we're going to be looking at the subject of freedom in Christ. We're going to be dealing with a number of subjects that I believe will help us to promote freedom and healing in our lives in order to equip us for God's mission, in order to reach our city, in order to reflect and to live like Christ in the midst of our city and in the midst of our neighborhood. It's also going to provide tools for discipling others. And so we'll have tools available to disciple others. It might be good if you want to take notes. I can also make some of these notes available to us. Hopefully it'll contain much pastoral wisdom. And it's also a follow-up, if you like, from our Gospel Revolution series we did at the beginning of the year, where we looked at what is the gospel. So I would just encourage you, if you have a testimony about God setting you free in a particular area of your life, we'd love to hear that. We'd love to, in the mornings, as we go through this, to hear different testimonies from folk, what God has done in your life. And even in my own life, I stand before you not as someone who has arrived, as you all know, but someone who's also on a journey towards maturity, towards freedom in Christ. There have been a number of areas in my own life that I've had to work through and struggle through, areas of sin, patterns in my life that have reoccurred, that I've needed God's help. And I'll be sharing some of the principles that I've learned in my own life as I've journeyed with the Lord in order to become more and more like Christ. And so we're in this together. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. And we're working it through in our small groups week by week and really trusting God for breakthrough. We want to also pray for people after the meetings. And if there's a need for counsel and further prayer, please come and see us. So we want to open this series up over the next 2 months where we can really be helped and grow in our Christian lives. And I'd encourage you to invite your friends as well to come and hear the teachings that we are going to be doing in the mornings. So Gospel Revolution dealt more with my position in Christ, and freedom in Christ is going to deal more with my condition through Christ and maturity, Christian maturity. That's the big idea. As we move from nappies to short pants to wearing long pants in the Christian life. Amen. God doesn't want us to stay in nappies. He doesn't want there to be the eternal childhood of the believer, but he wants us to grow and mature and become mature like Christ in every way. And so I had a great prophetic word from Pumzile, and she said this, while we were praying for the Freedom in Christ series, I was reminded of the story of Lazarus. He was dead for 4 days and his body was already decaying, and Jesus raised him from the dead. The Bible says that he came out bound hand and foot with linen and his face wrapped. I had a sense that there are some of us in the church that although they are alive in Christ, they are still bound by death clothes, areas in our lives that are in bondage and keeping us in a death-like form. I strongly believe that this series is going to remove the death clothes, so to speak, in our lives, that we will truly walk in freedom through Jesus Christ. Amen. That sounds great, doesn't it? Thank you, Pumzile. So friends, if I'm a Christian this morning, and most of us are, and Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, then I have already been set free through the cross and through what Jesus has done for me. But I do need to move on to maturity. There's a difference, as we'll see in this course, between freedom and maturity and further freedom, if you like. And so what the Lord wants is for me to live victoriously in Christ's freedom in every area of my life rather than in bondage or defeat. It's not enough. Listen carefully. It's not enough to say that I'm accepted through faith in Christ unless I can also say I'm delivered from the bondages of sin through my walk and the power of the indwelling Christ. Hallelujah. So we can't just say, well, I'm accepted. It doesn't matter how I live. No, no, no. Jesus is dwelling in us. And because of that, he wants to set us free in every area as well, to be like Christ. And it says in Peter, he's given us everything for life and godliness. And we're going to unpack that over the next few weeks as well. And so our goal is to become like Christ. And so in May, this first part, we'll be looking this morning at some introductory principles. We'll be recapping a few things we did in Gospel Revolution. And then next week, probably we'll be looking at strongholds and destructive patterns in our lives and how they emerge and how to deal with them through the gospel. We'll be looking at the whole role of emotions. How do our emotions affect us? Because it's impossible to be emotionally immature and to be spiritually mature. We'll also look at renewing our minds. How do we renew our minds? How do we put on the mind of Christ? And then in the second half, when we come to June, we'll look at other areas like walking in forgiveness, walking in faith, and relating to others. So let's kick straight off this morning and let's remind ourselves of what did we say during the Gospel Revolution series. And I want to just pick up six things that we said there briefly just to recap. Okay, because the Gospel Revolution series we did in January and into February was really a foundational series about the gospel. Okay, and God was helping us to get a deeper and deeper understanding of what is the gospel. And that is simply fundamental. Because there's so many Christians that are confused about the gospel. And we spent a lot of time talking about what is the gospel, how the gospel changes us and benefits from the gospel. And I want to just dip into those this morning. So firstly, what are the things we said in that series? First of all, we said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And if you like any of these points, you can say amen. Let me start again. We said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 verse 16. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. That Jesus came. That Jesus died for our sins. That Jesus rose again, defeating sin and death. In his death, Jesus broke the spiritual dominion or the power or control of sin over us. We now do not have to give in to sin. We can live in a new way, in a new life with Christ. Hallelujah. That is the essence of the gospel. And the gospel can save you and change you like nothing else can on the planet. We never get beyond the gospel in the Christian life to something more advanced. The gospel is not just the ABC. The gospel is the A to Z or the A to Z if you're American. Okay, so we preach the gospel to Christians and to non-Christians as well. And if you're a believer, Jesus is still the most important person in your life. Can you say amen? Every human problem has a gospel solution to it. We need to get Jesus in. We need to get the gospel in. And we need to get good at applying the gospel to our lives. When we counsel people, if you, those of you that are involved with counseling or helping people, we must identify problems and bring in the gospel, whether they're idols, whether they're sin in people's lives, and keep bringing in the gospel. Martin Luther said, we celebrate the Reformation, I think it's 500 years soon. Was it happened already? October, Masala knows all these things. And Luther said, we must keep bashing and beating the gospel into our heads. We must never forget about the gospel. Hallelujah. And so if you get hold of the gospel, it will revolutionize and clarify the Christian life for you and give you great purpose and direction in serving God's purposes on the earth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so we need to give our lives for the gospel. We need to stay accountable to the gospel. We need to make sure we're part of a gospel community. And we need to be convinced of the gospel ourselves. Hallelujah. So the gospel is the power of God. Secondly, we need to keep reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for us as well. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. And so when I become a Christian, Jesus pulls me into his story. And everything that happened to Jesus happened to me. I become part of all that he is, his big story. Jesus lived on this earth as a sinless savior. Jesus died on the cross in our place to pay for our sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. Jesus ascended into heaven. And one day he'll return. And when I believe in Christ, all those things happen to me. Do you remember we had Bandile in a coffin here on the stage at the beginning of the year? Do you remember that? Well, just remember Bandile in a coffin and you'll remember these things. So it's not what you do that determines who you are. It's who you are that determines what you do. Our behavior flows from who we are in Christ. And so the gospel is not about gradually becoming someone different, although we do need to mature. The gospel says the day you become a Christian, you have changed. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Right now. Today you'll be with me. In a few hours, you'll be with me in paradise. There's a complete change. Thirdly, the gospel also changes my identity. Gospel changes my identity. It says in 1 John chapter 3 that we are the children of God now. We know we're the children of God now. We have assurance of salvation. We're not waiting to get to heaven. Hopefully we'll make it to paradise. We know that now I'm a child of God. The moment I accept Christ, the moment I turn from my sins, the moment I put faith in Him, my status changes. I become part of God's family forever. It's an eternal salvation. Hallelujah. And that means that my identity changes. I'm no longer a sinner that sometimes does right things, but I am a righteous one who sometimes sins. And we battle with this. But I'm a righteous one who sometimes sins. I'm not a sinner who sometimes gets it right. And the Bible addresses us as saints, as children of God. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And friends, it's like living in a different zone, in a different place, in a different location. If you, Dave Larson is on his way to Amsterdam at the moment. That's why he's not here. He's got a good excuse for not being in church this morning. And when he gets to Amsterdam, when he lands in Amsterdam, the first thing he'll have to do is to change his watch. Because he's in a different time zone. I don't know if they're behind or ahead of us or behind us. Masala, do you know that as well? Okay. But he will have to change his watch. Because he's in a different place. He's in a different time zone. He's moved from South Africa to Amsterdam. And when you become a Christian, you have to change your thinking because you're in a different place now. You're no longer in the realm of sin. You're now in another place. You're in Christ. Hallelujah. And friends, it's all part of knowing the truth and the truth setting us free. It's so important that we believe these truths. Neil Anderson's big on this. You will know the truth, John chapter 8, and the truth will set you free. We live today in a post-truth society where people are not sure, what can you believe anymore? Well, we can believe God's word. We can find out what God says is true, and we believe it and we line up with it despite what our feelings may say or what we've done this morning or yesterday. And our lives will be transformed. Neil Anderson says, the reason so many Christians are not enjoying the maturity and freedom that is theirs is because they don't see themselves as they really are in Christ. They don't see themselves as they really are in Christ. They don't see themselves the way God sees them, and they don't grasp their true identity in Christ. It's so important that we do that. Keep renewing our minds. I'm a child of God. I'm in a different time zone because of what Jesus has done for me. Hallelujah. Fourthly, the gospel also changes my heart. Gospel changes my heart. It deals with my heart. It deals with my core, the core of my being. Unlike the health profession who deal with the outer man, the mind, the body, society, we don't just deal with the outer man, we deal with the inner man, with the heart. The great promise of the gospel is that God will give you a new heart. Hallelujah. And He'll put His Spirit within us. Ezekiel 36. The gospel changes me on the inside. And His laws are written now on my heart, not on a stone tablet on the top of a mountain in the Middle East, but on my heart. And friends, God is after our hearts. Why? Because He's jealous. He's a jealous lover. He's a jealous lover. He's after your heart. And He's after my heart. And God loves us. And He wants our hearts. And He wants our devotion. And He won't settle for anything less. If you read through the Bible, even just, if you've just got saved, you read through, you just think, man, God is jealous. He won't have any rivals. He won't have any other lovers. He wants to be first and the only one in our lives. And He's after our hearts because of that. He wants us to love Him and Him alone. And that's why he wants us to keep giving our hearts to him and keep returning to our first love. And why we need to guard our hearts, because everything flows out of your heart. It says in Proverbs, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And we need God to sometimes say, Lord, like it says in Psalm 139, Lord, search me and know what's in my heart. We don't know what's in our own heart sometimes. We don't know what's going on there. So I think, just where did that come from? Why did I respond like that? And why did I think that? There's stuff sometimes going on in our hearts that we're not aware of. And we need God to help us and to shine his light in our heart, even though he's given us a new heart. And we need to stay in love with Jesus. It's the most important thing. If you said to me, if you could boil a Christian life down to one thing, what is it? You need to stay in love with Jesus. That's what it is. You need to stay in love with Jesus. Because your heart will worship what it believes will satisfy it the most. And our hearts are always on the move, looking for something they can trust in. Something we can put our attention on and our love on. And sin is not just doing the wrong thing. Sin is worshiping the wrong thing. It's worshiping the wrong thing. It's falling in love with other things, as we've said over and over. And so, friends, if you look at the Ten Commandments, you may think, what's the Ten Commandments got to do with it? If you look at the Ten Commandments, it says this. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, on the earth, or beneath the earth, or in the waters below. You're not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I'm jealous. God's jealous. And friends, the order of the commandments is important. Because you'll find the first commandment is focused on God. And if you break the first commandment, you'll break the other commandments as well. Because you fail to love God enough. We've gone and we've attached our hearts to other things as well. Because we're going through discouragement, or because we're under pressure, or we lose our way, or the devil lies to us, and we find other things to connect with. And Satan knows how to do that. We'll come to that next week. But Satan knows all about sin. He's a master in sin. He's got his PhD in understanding the doctrines of sin. And he has well-tested strategies to persuade you and me that sin is not so bad and God is not so good. And we need to keep coming back to God and say, Lord Jesus, please renew my first love. That's why worship is so important. Lord, just renew my first love. Keep bringing me back to my first love, Lord. Get hold of my heart. And when we take up our cross and when we follow Jesus, what faith and repentance really is, we're saying to God, Lord, I love you so much that I'm turning away from other lovers and I'm laying down my life for you. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Saying, Lord, it's you and you alone. I'm following you because you're jealous. Just like in a marriage. Just like in a marriage. We must remember that God is after our hearts, and we'll talk some more about that in the months to come. Number five, the gospel also makes us victorious and sets us free from demonic principalities and powers in this world. Christus victor. Colossians chapter 2, let's just look there quickly. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 20. Paul says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this world, why, as though you still live in the world, you submit to regulations, do not handle, do not touch, and so on. And so we've died, friends, to the world. We've died to the elementary spirits of the world. Jesus has cut the links that have linked us to sin, to the law, and to the devil. They've been broken by Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to take you to a very interesting scripture that I only discovered a few weeks ago, but it's really helped me a lot. And won't you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Just to develop this point a bit further about what Christ has done for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, that's us, Jesus himself also partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, who had the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those, look at this, all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. To deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Friends, death is judgment. It's a penalty upon sin. So death is the salary that sin will pay you. And we're all born with this death penalty hanging over us. We know that one day we're going to die. And it feels unnatural to us. Every time you go to a funeral or a wake or a memorial service, the thing that if you boil it down past the compassion and the speeches and the eulogy and everything, what you find is that people are struggling with death because it seems unnatural to us because we were never meant to die. We were never meant to die. I remember my own mom. How she struggled with death. She had so much chemotherapy just to stay alive. She was terrified of dying. And because of our guilt feelings, because of guilt, we all have a fear of death. We have a fear of destruction. We have a fear of trauma that leads us into all kinds of fear, the Bible tells us. We would not fear death if we didn't feel guilty. So Michael Eaton says this, I think it's a profound sentence. He says, every kind of bondage to fear is really bondage to the fear of death and what will happen to us after death. Every kind of bondage is linked to the fear of death somewhere. And some people are afraid of the dark. Others are afraid of poverty. Others are afraid of sickness or trauma. Some people are afraid of crime. Some people are afraid of the future. Some people are afraid of just getting old. So we go for an extreme makeover. So we look better. Because behind there is a fear. And the lies that come with that fear. And that's what the devil does. That's how the devil holds you captive. It's through your fears. He holds you captive. And he drills down into that fear. And into your pain. And he drills down into it and he begins to offer you other alternatives to deal with your pain and to deal with your trauma and to deal with your fears. Satan had the power through sin to work in the realm of death and to tempt people to sin, which leads to death. He exploited the fear of death to bring us into bondage. And think about it, friends. Fear itself is a bondage. It's a bondage. It's a slavery. You find often in the Bible, Jesus goes, says, don't fear, don't fear, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't fear. South Africans, we live with so much fear. We lock in cars and double lock. Now you've got to not just lock your car, you've got to check the door handles because they jam your alarm in your car. And if it's not the burglar, they're not going to burgle your house, it's the monkeys. Yesterday I was talking to my guard outside, I left my window open. I love bananas. I bought myself a nice big packet of bananas. The monkeys got into my kitchen and they trashed the place. Now I think it's not just burglars, it's monkeys now. I've got to deal with monkeys. As I was so cross with the monkeys in my area yesterday. Get myself a paintball gun. I said, have you only got the soft ones? He said, no, we got the hard ones. I said, that's good. And fear itself is a bondage. And we're living with so much fear today in this nation. And even Christians can be fearful. Know what it is to just be afraid. But friends, we don't need to be. The Bible says that Jesus became a man and took upon himself the death penalty Jesus killed death. He didn't just die, but he killed death. He dealt with death. He moved beyond death, never to die again. And he set us free from the grip and the penalty and the fear of death. By dying for us, Jesus took away the devil's hold over us. Because Jesus died for me, there'll be nothing of the anger of God against sin when I come to die. Physical life in this body will end, but it will not be really death. You will die here and you will wake up there instantly. 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 You will die here and you'll wake up there. And it's this that devastates the devil. If we feel safe about what happens at death, we can feel safe about everything. And Jesus is now ministering to us from heaven to bring us to be totally free from every kind of fear. Free from every kind of fear. And we can give to Jesus in our lives any areas of fear and death in our own lives. It's not just dying, it's a deathly thing. It's destruction, it's trauma. It's stuff that's bringing death to us. And in the coming weeks, we want to pray into those areas. So every believer must acknowledge the reality of Satan and his kingdom to set out and deceive and destroy the people of God. Having said that, we remain God conscious, not demon centered. We're not full-time Ghostbusters. But we need to deal with these things when they come up. And friends, this is very, very real. Deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. It's very powerful. Very, very powerful. That at the bottom of every problem or phobia or issue in life is actually a fear of death. And Jesus broke that. Hallelujah. He's broken that. Hallelujah. Number six. The Holy Spirit also manifests the power of the gospel to us. We can't leave the Holy Spirit out. PJ says the evangelical emphasis on the power of the gospel to change us must never cancel out the power of the Spirit within us to change us. So it's the cross and the Spirit. We need both to live the Christian life that we need to live. Our new record and new power must never be separated. Neil Anderson said, it's my deep conviction that the finished work of Christ and the ongoing presence of God in our lives are the only means by which we can resolve our personal and spiritual conflicts. An encounter with God is the only way we can meet our deepest needs for acceptance. And in this church, we believe in encounters. Hallelujah. We believe in encounters. We need to regularly have encounters with God. It's so important. So Richard Lovelace says this, and we've said this before, the cross brings us four benefits. One, I'm justified. I'm accepted in Christ through his death and resurrection. Secondly, I'm sanctified. I'm actually delivered from sin through my union with Christ. And there's more we'll touch on there. Thirdly, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm empowered to live the Christian life. And fourthly, I'm given authority over the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. And that's basically a recap of what we touched on in Gospel Revolution. But as I conclude, or as they say these days, as I land this message, I need to land it. As I land, there is a difference between freedom and maturity, as I said in the beginning. Freedom is obtained the moment I turn from sin and turn to Christ, but maturity is a lifelong process. Growth and obedience to God is not automatic. The message of justification is that we do not have to go through what Jesus did because he did it for us. The message of sanctification or discipleship is that I must continue to follow Christ, pick up my cross and follow him in order to put sin to death and become like Christ. Hallelujah. Position and process. And that means sometimes, listen carefully, four areas. Sometimes we need to repent from sin in our lives. Sometimes we have areas of brokenness in our lives that need healing. You can't repent from brokenness. You need healing from brokenness. Come through a bad divorce or you've been raped or you've been abused. That's brokenness you need healing from. Sometimes it's just weakness in yourself. You discover you have a weakness in your life. You have a weakness. I have weaknesses in my own life that I know about. Paul says, I had this weakness. I had this thorn in my flesh. And it wouldn't go away. And God says, I've actually put it there to keep you humble. And sometimes we struggle because of demonic oppression or what I would call assorted trouble. How many of you have had assorted trouble in the last 6 months? We have assorted trouble. Trouble's miscellaneous. And sometimes it can be demonic. We can just get attacked. I found there was some real demonic attack prior to this series, and we need deliverance. So sometimes it's repentance, sometimes it's healing. Sometimes it's just embracing weakness and the grace of God to meet us. What did God say to him? My grace works best when you're weak. And finally, sometimes we need deliverance. We need to resist the devil because it's a demonic thing that's happening. And he'll flee. And I ask you this morning, what area do you need help in? What area do you need to grow in? We'd love to pray for you. We need to know the difference. It's part of growing in maturity. And sometimes maturity does take a while as we go from nappies to long pants. We find that and Benson was said it so well last week that the Israelites were delivered on one night from Egypt, but it took them years in the land of Canaan to subdue their enemies. And God says, I'm not going to drive them all out. You're going to take the land bit by bit as you grow. Hallelujah. And what I want to say this morning, friends, is that it is our personal responsibility to grow in spiritual freedom and maturity. God has changed our nature, but it's our responsibility to change our behavior. Can I say that again? It didn't seem to go down so well. Let me try again. God has changed our nature, but it's our responsibility to change our behavior. And if you look in the New Testament, you'll find scripture after scripture saying it's your responsibility to do stuff. You have an obligation. Let us therefore do this. Let us therefore do that. Put to death therefore. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then. And do not be yoked again with the yoke of slavery, either into legalism or into license. Either living like a monk in a monastery with rules and regulations which don't work, because you'll find you take sin in your heart to the monastery. It's not outside, it's inside. Or the other way, we go the other way like the younger brother and we start living in sin. We mustn't do either. And we need to lay hold of the freedom that Christ has for us. Because friends, although we are no longer in the flesh, we can walk according to the flesh. And we mustn't blame the devil. Sometimes he's to blame. We'll deal with that. We mustn't blame our parents. We can't go to the CCMA. We need to take responsibility for this. So my spiritual maturity is my responsibility. It's my responsibility. Because you can get stuck in the Christian life and not move forward. You can't lose what God's already given you, but you can lose what He wants to give you. And so as I close and land, how do we change? Just a few points. We'll be tackling this over the next few months. This is just to kind of whet your appetite. As I said already, keep falling in love with Jesus. Return to your first love and put God first in your life. Secondly, keep renewing your mind and deal with the lies of the devil. Ask God to expose the lies that you think before you act. We need to run the race that God has for us. God has a race for you and I to run. He has a lane for you to run in. We need to run with others because although we take responsibility, we don't run on our own. We run with others. We need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit and give yourself to Christ's mission in the world. Hallelujah. So I'm not advocating locking yourself away for 2 months to deal with stuff. I'm saying let's serve, let's walk with God, let's get involved in His mission. But as we do that, let's be open to these areas and ask God to help us. Lord, I want to move from freedom to maturity. I want to be like Christ. I want You to deal with me, Lord, whatever area it is. And we'll be looking at these areas. I've got lots to say in the area of emotion. I've got lots to say in the area of the demonic. I want to help you over the next few weeks in this series. Bring your friends along as well. But as I close this morning, I want you to take responsibility. I want you to say, you know what? I'm putting my hand up. I'm putting my hand up. It's one of the things we need in this nation at the moment. We need people to take responsibility. And it's a great thing to take responsibility. We say, you know what? It's me. I'm taking responsibility for my spiritual growth, for some of the areas in my life, some of the patterns, some of the secrets. I'm putting my hand up. I want to live for God. I want my life to turn around. Hallelujah. And what I want, I just want us to put that prayer of dedication up. Neil Anderson's great on this, and I think we can do more in terms of public confession of truth, in terms of setting us free. And so I want us to just put that up. And if you feel stirred by this message this morning, if you're saying, you know what, the areas in my life I do need to take responsibility for, I want God to change me. I want to be more like Christ. I want to be effective in His mission in the world. Then I want you to stand with me, and we want to say this together. And I'm standing with you because I need to say this as much as you. Prayer of dedication. Can we do that? Can we stand now and just declare this morning before the Lord? Okay, you ready? Can you all see it up top there? Jonathan, can you see it? Okay, if you can't see, just put your glasses on. We've made it bigger. All right? So we're going to say this together. And there's something about, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. When we get into the baptismal pool, we get people to make a confession. Last week when we were baptized, Malusi was talking, he said to folk, have you confessed all your known sins? And I said to him afterwards, it sounded like you were saying, have you confessed all your nonsense? He said, no, your known sins. Perhaps to speak a bit slower. Just joking now. But the confession is powerful because we're saying something with our lips. We're saying something we believe in our hearts. And I'd love us this morning to go through this and really mean it. And God's listening. And trust that over the next few months, stuff's going to happen in your life and in this church that's going to pave the way for revival to come. So let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you and honor you as my Lord and Savior. You are in control of all things. You said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. I love you and thank you that I am united with Christ and spiritually alive in Him. I choose not to love the world or the things in the world, and I crucify the flesh and all its passions. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I may say no to sin and yes to you. I declare my total dependence upon you. And I take my stand against Satan and all his lying ways. I choose to believe in the truth of God's word, despite what my feelings may say. I refuse to be discouraged. You are the God of all hope. Nothing is too difficult for you. I am confident that you will supply all my needs as I seek to live according to your word. I thank you that I can be content through Christ who strengthens me. I now take my stand against Satan and command him and all his evil spirits to depart from me. I choose to put on the full armor of God so that I may be able to stand firm against all the devil's schemes. I submit my body as a living and holy sacrifice to God, and I choose to renew my mind by the living word of God. By doing so, I will be able to prove that the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect for me. In the name of my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just take a minute just to talk to the Lord. And as you stand, just say, Lord, here I am. Work in me. Bring forth great fruitfulness in my life. Make me like Christ. Change me. in the next few months. Reveal to me things that are hidden in Jesus' name. Amen. Just talk to him now. Thank you, Lord.